Let's pray, read our Bibles. God, we come to you and we thank you. You are good and kind and loving, and you give us these moments that we can gather together and come like a family, come around and read your word, sing together, praise your name, remember the cross, and thank you. We do thank you. So now as we read, I pray that you would fill our hearts with even more gratitude for who you are, for what you've done. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so we're about to enter into what could arguably be called the busiest time of the year. I know it's the most wonderful time of the year. It is that. It's also probably the busiest time of the year. It's a time when businesses say we're not going to get anything done for 2 weeks. That's just an inconceivable thought, but you know, it's like spoken out loud in meetings. It's like, oh, that won't happen till January. Nothing will. People to see and stuff to buy and all the stuff. And maybe you say, we're not about to enter. I've been in that for a couple of weeks already. Whatever the case may be, things get busy this time of year. And I wanted us to take a moment to open our Bibles, look at a text, and remember something incredibly important. I say remember, no one will leave here today saying, oh, that was new. I don't think there's going to be anything new seen or shared today. But just remember why our Savior came and who he is, and be called to worship him. We're going to look at John chapter 1. We won't stay there. We're going to jump around a little bit. That will be our text for today. So if you go there, I know it'll be on the screen, but also if you go there, you'll have in front of you the main thing we're going to look at. I think it's in our best interest to take a moment and remember even things that we know, because sometimes the biggest truths can become just routine. We sing about it. There's traditions. There's Christmas stuff. Have you ever experienced that where all of a sudden you realize I know a lot about Jesus. He's part of my life. I hear teaching. I even read my Bible. I go to church. I wear a cross around my neck. You don't have to. I'm just saying things that could be true, right? I celebrate Christmas every year. Jesus is all over the place. He's around me. I'm not as transformed by Jesus as I was before. I don't feel a love for the Savior. It's just kind of part of life. So today, let's read, let's remember, contemplate the Messiah who came, and by God's grace, would that we would be able to see him anew and appreciate and worship him. Go to John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I don't know how it looks on the screen, if it's translate it well, it is. The word is capital W. Why? Because it's referring to Jesus, beginning Jesus, describing him as the Word. That's another sermon. Jesus was. It starts out with who is. Who is Jesus? Take a step back. I know I've been to Sunday school. I know we know, but also Jesus is God. And in these two verses, we see two of the three persons of the Godhead. We see Jesus, and Jesus always was, wasn't created, always was. He is God, everlasting. So he didn't come into existence when he was born in Bethlehem. Again, I know we know this, but it's beautiful and it's part of what we worship, because the fact that he is God everlasting means him coming as a baby is, well, even more spectacular. Read verse 3. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. I know that last little fragment is you could have said that more clearly. Probably. Jesus made everything. He's the creator of all. Jump over to Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 16. We could have gone to Hebrews 1. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, made to serve him, by him. And he is before all things. and in him all things hold together. If you're a handy person and you make stuff, and you make stuff for yourself, you know the feeling, right? If you make something, you made it, and you made it to enjoy it. Whatever the thing is, whatever you make, whether it's something with wood or whatever the thing is, you make it to enjoy it. You make it for yourself. That's what Jesus did. Jesus did in the creation. So who made the world? Who made everything? Who made you and I? God did. That would be a correct answer. Even more correct would be Jesus made everything. And he is the Lord of all. Everything was made through him and for him, and he reigns over all. And that is beautiful. I don't know if beautiful is the right word. An awe-inspiring contrast when you think of a little baby in a manger. You think of the creator and the ruler of everything. That is Jesus who we worship. Go to verse 4. In him was life. So he came, and in him was life. And life was the light of men. So there's two concepts that he's going to be throwing around through the rest of this. And one is life, and the other is light. And he's joining them together, right? The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. So Jesus has life and has life and is life in himself. He is life. You and I are not. We have to breathe and eat and sleep, and we have to keep life flowing through us, right? You stop breathing, you'll find out there's no life in me. Jesus is life. He has life in himself. And that life is eternal life. And that life gives light to all people, to men and women, to all mankind. What does that mean? That's light that guides us to God, to be able to have peace with God, to be able to know God. The life in Christ guides us to the Father. It's life that we need. Why? Well, there's darkness. Look at verse 5. He's going to talk about this as he develops this as he goes through the text, but he starts with this idea of darkness has not overcome it. So there's light and life in Jesus. Then there's darkness. And the darkness and the implication, and we'll see as we continue on, the darkness is many times in us. It's in the world. It's darkness that surrounds us because we are in darkness. Other places in the Bible will describe it as the kingdom of darkness, when we are transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son, of Jesus. So darkness comes from our rebellion against the Father. This is the gospel. As I was reading this week, it was like this passage in John contains the gospel. Not stated the way Paul would state the gospel, but it's the gospel is here, and we start seeing it. There's darkness. Why? Because we rebel against God. We want to be our own boss. We live ignoring our creator. We live our lives, and we sometimes look up and talk to him, but most of the time it's me and what I want and what I'm doing, and I'm not worried about surrendering to him or seeking him. And that leads to, well, look at what Romans 3:23 says. All have sinned to fall short of the glory of God. It's another way of saying there's darkness. There's darkness that we have created by our rebellion against God. And then light, what does light do? The darkness has not overcome it. So we're back in John 1:4. Light shines in darkness. Darkness has not overcome it. Light undoes the darkness. Specifically, the light of Christ, the light of life in Christ, undoes the darkness that our rebellion has caused between us and God, and the destruction that brings into our lives and our world. Light undoes that. The darkness cannot overcome. Darkness leads us to death. Light leads us to life. Go to verse 6 now. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. I always have to say this whenever we're reading this passage from the Gospel of John. Not that John. There's John was also a common name then, I think. Different John. Different John than the writer of the Gospel of John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light. Why? Why would he bear witness about the light? That, or so that, all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So the prophet John the Baptist came to announce that light was coming, life is coming. The purpose, his purpose, and it says it twice, right? was to bear witness why? So that all would believe, so that people would come to put their trust in Christ, trust in this life, and trust in it for their future, for their eternity. And he says, he wasn't the light, and he emphasizes that. He wasn't the light, he wasn't the salvation. Those who talk about the light, you and I, should be like John the Baptist. We should talk about the light. When we do, we're not the light. We're not the saviors. We're not doing anything special. We are pointing to the one who is the light, the one who is life. Jesus is the one who rescues. Verse 9 says, the true light. I'm thinking that should be capital L, but because it's talking about Jesus, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That was his message. Light was going to come and it was going to shine, and people would be able to see the light and be drawn to the light, come into the light. As I was reading that, I think we read this week, or maybe it just came into my mind as I was reading this. I don't remember. But Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse 2. There's a messianic prophecy pointing to Jesus for a long time before Jesus came. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone, pointing forward to the time when light would come into the world, and that light is Christ. Verse 10 says, back to John chapter 1, he was in the world. So now Jesus was coming. Now Jesus is in the world. He was in the world, talking about the time when he walked around. The world was made through him, and then the greatest of ironies, yet the world did not know him. So made this for me, this doesn't know me. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Have you ever had a dog? Some of us would say yes, I'm guessing. You ever loved your dog? Like it was just like the greatest thing in your life? Maybe fewer of us say yes, but yeah, still remember my little Doberman, raised her from a little pup. I get teary-eyed when I think about her, just loved her. Okay, how odd would it be if you had a dog, which you didn't make, right? But you know, you raise and you give everything to, and that dog didn't know you. The dog was like a cat. That would be odd, wouldn't it? The dogs know their owners. They love their owners. They slobber all over their owners. They run up to their owners like they're about to kill them, and they're not going to. They just want to like jump on them. And well, that's the kind of thing that is happening here. But the opposite of that, the world was made through him, yet the world didn't know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus came then, and today continues to come. A different way, but to offer himself to us, he extends light and true life. So many times we reject him, we turn the other way. We say, thank you, but I have my life. And what are we doing when we do that? We are preferring darkness to light. We like the darkness. Our nature would rather do the things that we would want to do. We'd rather follow our passions and our desires, be our own boss. And you say, not me. I don't think that's me. That's pretty much everybody. Go further into the book of John. Go to John chapter 3:16. We'll start with the good verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You could take what we're looking at in John 1:1-18, could press it all down into that verse. That's the gospel. That's what we're looking at today. But then look at what it says. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already. So we walk in condemnation until we surrender to Jesus because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. Now think about what we just read in John 1. Came to the world. They didn't know him. People loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Jesus is and puts a decision before each one of us. He by who he is, the light of God, the life from God that has come into a dark world, a world that has rebelled against the Father, Jesus is a decision. He forces a decision in each one of us. We continually have to choose, do I choose Jesus or do I choose to reject him? Do I choose to surrender to him? Do I choose to not? When we repent and are baptized, it's the greatest moment when we surrender to Jesus. But even before that, we're drawing near to him or farther away from him. And after that moment, we're either choosing him every day over and over and over again. I choose him. I choose to surrender to him. I'm going to pray to him. I'm going to sing to him today. It's not Sunday. Still going to pray and sing to him today. I'm going to read his word. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to talk about him to other people. I'm choosing him or I'm not. One or the other. That's a continual choice that we make. Now, go back three pages, two pages, whatever, two flicks of your screen. To John chapter 1, verse 12, but to all who did receive him, so many didn't, some did. Many didn't know him, but some did see him and recognize him and receive him. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, as they put their trust in him, he gave the right to become children of God. That's incredible, the right to become children of God. Who were born, you put your trust in Jesus, you're born, you say, well, I've already been born, so that means you're reborn, you're born again, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man. So this time, it wasn't because your parents got together, it wasn't because you were in a hospital and there was blood and bodily fluids and you coming out and all that weirdness. You were born of God. You surrender to Jesus. You repent and are baptized. A miracle occurs. You become a new person. And that life, that light enters into you and I. That is incredible. Tack onto that. Go to John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. This is Jesus himself talking. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life that happens when you're born again and you're a new person and God's Spirit fills you and you truly live in this life and eternally. That transforms us. We're children of God. We're born of God. Not because of the will of a person, but because of the will of God. God wants that and chooses and makes that happen. God is the one who makes us be born again into him. He brings us into his family. Look at verse 14, the word. So now think about verse 1, right? Referring to Jesus as a word. He's bringing that back again. The word, this is Jesus, became flesh. So the word of God became flesh, somehow put on a flesh suit. How did that happen? That's incredible. And dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory is of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. In Christ, we see God, because in Christ, God took the form of man. God the Son became a man and he lived amongst us and he showed us the glory of God. And you say, well, he showed them. I mean, they saw, right? John, who was writing this, actually saw Jesus. He saw the glory of God, the Son. So he's saying first person, but we also by proxy, because it's through them, We are able to see Jesus. Through his word, we're able to see him. And through the Spirit in our hearts. And I wanted to, I'm glad I didn't, because it would have been just too much for one message. But read 2 Corinthians 4 this afternoon or tomorrow sometime. But read it. Please read it. We see Jesus read it. We also see the glory of the Son. And he came from the Father full of what? Full of grace. Full of truth. And we could all raise our hands and say, I'm more of a grace person. I'm the good cop. You know, I'm the good one. I'm, you know, I let stuff slide. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Or I'm the bad one. Everybody knows I'm going to, my kids especially, they better not try anything when I'm looking. He came full of grace and full of truth. The truth that we are rebels against the Father and we're condemned. He came full of that truth, bringing the condemnation of God that we deserve because we've rebelled against God. He came full of truth and he came full of grace that he extends us the Father's mercy and forgiveness. You are a rebel. You deserve to die. And also you can and we can be forgiven in me. Look at verse 15. John bore witness about him and cried out. This is John the Baptist, not John the writer of not John the Apostle. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. That's the message, should be the message of every believer, of you and I. There's somebody bigger, somebody better. There is a rescuer. It's not just a reason to give gifts, although gifts are phenomenal, but there's a person, a God person who is bigger than all, greater than us. He rescues us. He is full of light and life. For from him, verse 16, for from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Now, this is talking about those who have put their trust in Jesus, who are in Christ. For those of us today who are repentant, who have been baptized, for from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. In Christ, we can receive an abundance of grace. And if you are in Christ, this is something you celebrate. This is when we take communion and we remember, we gather around the Lord's table and we remember his body and his blood. That is what we celebrate. I've received an abundance of grace and mercy. I've been forgiven for every one of my trespasses against the Father. I've received the eternal love of my Father. I've received a seat at the table. I've been adopted into the divine family. Why? Because of him. Because of him, we've received grace upon grace. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Isn't that an awesome phrase? No one has ever seen God, the only God who is, he's not saying no one has only seen God, the only God. He's saying no one has only ever seen God. And then he says, the only God, that's Jesus, the only God who is at the Father's side has made it known. Just as much God as God the Father is, he makes God the Father known. When we come to Jesus, we not only receive life and forgiveness and grace, we can know God. We can be known by the one who made us, and we can know him. He came to us, Jesus. He drew near to us so that we could have a hope of drawing near to the Father. He truly is, as Jesus himself said, the way and the truth and the life. For John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's the one. That is the one that we remember in this season and always. He is the one that we remember every week when we gather around the Lord's table, when we come together and sing. Jesus is the one who came from the Father, who is God, who came to give us life. So what's an application out of that? Some messages appear to be application heavy. Others appear to be not application heavy. This might be one of those. Well, there's an application there. There is. If you're not a Christian, if you've never surrendered to Jesus, if his light and life have not entered into you, he invites you to put your trust in him, to say you are not just someone I know, someone I talk about, someone I sing to, but I want you to be the Lord of my life. You're the King of the world. I want you to be the Lord of me. I want you to tell me what to do for the rest of my life. I want to surrender to you. I know I will receive life when I do that. I'll repent and be baptized. When I come up out of the water, I will be a new person, born again. And if that is in your heart, if you say, I want to do that, then tell one of the men who has been up here, repent and be baptized, become God's child, be born again. For those of us who are Christians, what should we do? I read that text and my takeaway is I should worship. I should glorify him. So I'm a Christian, so of course I do that. Yeah, but I need to do that. I need to sing. I need to talk to him. I need to praise him. I need to have times where I'm just driving my car and I start talking to Jesus, and it's not, you make this happen and help this happen, but it's, you're incredible. You gave me life. Thank you. And I talk to him about him. I need to talk to other people about him because I've received life. They can receive life. That's what we should do. We should worship and glorify and share the King who had came to give us life. And as we end, think about this. So in this time of year, especially, we're fixated on the coming, the birth, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory is of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus came in Bethlehem, manger. Wonderful, as we should be. He gives us life because he came. He also gives us life because he didn't just come into the world. He died in the world. He was brutally murdered in this world. We started by looking at the start of his life, and today let's end by looking at the end of his life, because when he hung on the cross, he gave us what, look, go back to John 1, verse 12. He gave us what was promised here. But to all who did receive him, who believed his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In Christ, we find God. And in his cross, we find life. So now as we take bread, we take juice, and we remember his body, remember his blood, let's worship, proclaim his death, and the life that we have in him. God, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you that in Christ we can be your dearly beloved children, be born again in your family, filled with your spirit, full of your life, and know you. We thank you that we can have that because Jesus humbled himself and came into this world, the world he made, the world that rejected him, that he died and was hung on a cross and was brutally murdered, taking the punishment that we deserve in our place. We remember that. We thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take the bread together.